This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Professional golf is making another stop in Chicagoland, but it's not the PGA adding to its calendar. The new LIV Golf Invitational Series is set to host a tournament September 16 through 18 at the Rich Harvest Farms Golf Course and Country Club in the western suburb of Sugar Grove near Aurora. But the tournament is not without controversy. LIV, or L-I-V, is a reference to the Roman numeral 54, the lowest score you can get if you birdied every hole on a par 72 course. It's also the number of holes to be played at LIV events. And more to the point, the tournament is backed by the Sovereign Wealth Fund of Saudi Arabia. That has prompted pushback from human rights groups and critics, saying the tournament is covering up for Saudi Arabia's shoddy human rights record. But organizers for the LIV Golf tournament say they're simply providing a new way for the sport of golf to make its mark. Joining us now to discuss the LIV Golf Tournament's upcoming visit to Illinois is John Kyleman, senior reporter for the Chicago Tribune. John, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for making the time to be with us.
Glad to be here.
Listeners, in order to make our schedules meet, we tape this conversation ahead of time, so we're not taking calls for this. But as ever, you can let us know what you thought at our website, 21stshow.org, or leave us a voicemail at 217-300-2121. All right. Can you just say a little bit more about what is the LIV Golf Tour? Where did this idea come from?
The LIV Golf Tour is a project of Saudi Arabia's Sovereign Wealth Fund, as you said, formerly known as the Public Investment Fund, which has something in the neighborhood of $650 billion, with a B, dollars in assets. And Saudi Arabia, like other countries in that part of the world, has become more active in investing in things that are of interest to, I guess you would say, Western audiences, particularly with sports. The Qatari royal family owns Paris Saint-Germain, a soccer team, one of the biggest in the world. The Saudis just bought, the same wealth fund has just bought the Newcastle Premier League team in England, huge fan base. And the working theory behind this, among sort of researchers and human rights advocates, is that this is a way to sort of purchase respectability in a way among Western audiences and policymakers, similar to the way that autocratic regimes have hosted the Olympics for many decades. What's different about the LIV Golf Tour is that when you talk to some people, they see it not as a way of sort of, staking a claim in a popular sport, but almost trying to take it over entirely. And the way they've done this is by paying extremely large sums of money to prominent golfers to leave the PGA, the normal sort of professional golf association in America that everyone's familiar with, and join their organization. And they kind of started a little slowly. Their most prominent golfer was Phil Mickelson, who I think most people would say is past his prime. But in recent weeks, they have gotten a lot, golfers who are ranked much more highly. They just signed the number two player in the world, Cameron Smith. I think that was just announced today. So that potentially spells real trouble for the PGA, which wants, which kind of sees the LIV Tour as an existential threat, because they have so much money that they can, if they lose money for a few years, so what? It doesn't matter. I mean, they're backed by one of the largest fortunes on planet Earth, and they can afford to play the waiting game a little while. And if it turns out that more and more prominent golfers abandon the PGA for this new LIV Tour, then the PGA is potentially in a world of hurt.
Yeah, and the PGA commissioner has been pretty clear about this. I saw a comment he made at a news conference.
Let me be clear. I am not naive. If this is an arms race, and if the only weapons here are dollar bills, The PGA Tour can't compete. The PGA Tour, an American institution, can't compete with a foreign monarchy that is spending billions of dollars in an attempt to buy the game of golf. We welcome good, healthy competition. The LIV Saudi Golf League is not that. It's an irrational threat, one not concerned with the return on investment or true growth of the game.
So what is it that people point to? And maybe you can just remind us a little bit. I mentioned human rights abuses. What specifically do people point to when they talk about Saudi Arabia and what is raising eyebrows?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's no secret that that is a country ruled by a monarchy, and that its commitment to human rights has been less than robust. Human rights advocates will say that the kingdom is an oppressor of women, an oppressor of LGBT people, of dissidents. It has committed war crimes, allegedly, in its conflict against its neighbor, Yemen. It had a mass execution earlier this year. And most notably, the thing that has critics have really seized upon is that the de facto ruler of Saudi Arabia, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, has been blamed by U.S. intelligence for the death of Jamal Khashoggi, who was a writer for the Washington Post, was based in the U.S., and was killed at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey, which is regarded as an assassination of a critic. He denies it. The Crown Prince denies this. I would say most critics do not believe that denial. And even some of the golfers, including Phil Mickelson, who have signed up with the LIV Tour, have recognized this allegation. And yet they have gone forward and taken, this is astronomical amount of money, which has rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Yeah. Mickelson was pretty plain spoken in his way about this earlier this year, basically acknowledging all these terrible things that people have accused the Saudi regime of carrying out, and sort of wondering aloud, well, why would you do that? But he did say, it was a once in a lifetime opportunity in his view to remake the PGA. Let's talk about how, and let me just take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with John Kalman of the Chicago Tribune, who has covered the LIV Tour, which is going to be making a stop in Illinois. And why is it coming to Illinois?
My understanding is that a lot of the big time courses that people are used to seeing on TV have not been interested up until this point in partnering with the LIV Tour, and some of that may well be because of their ties to the PGA. Rich Harvest Farms, the course that it's coming to here in Illinois, which is out sort of around Aurora, it has never hosted a PGA event. It has hosted a lot of college events and a notable women's professional tournament, but never a PGA event. And it's a private course, built by one man as sort of his own private Augusta, if you go back in the clips and read about it. And I've had it described to me as kind of an eccentric course, lots of unusual features that perhaps are preventing it from getting a slot with the PGA. But, I mean, the owners out there said yes to this opportunity. And when I asked them about it, they would not answer any questions regarding sort of the Saudi links of this tournament, but just said, hey, this is a great way to bring pro golf to Illinois, which a lot of people feel is overlooked by the PGA when they are scheduling their events. And, it's a way to support various charitable causes that the owner has supported over the years. So that's how they put it.
Yeah, we reached out. I should mention, we reached out to Rich Harvest Farms. They declined an opportunity to join us on the 21st show, but they did send us a statement saying, quote, Rich Harvest Farms is seeking to help the community both locally and globally and is excited to partner with LIV Golf Investments to do so, close quote. You mentioned that they didn't answer your questions about the controversy. Do you think they're going to be able to dodge this controversy? Have you heard from people who are looking to exert pressure on them, maybe local officials or activists or anyone else?
I have not heard about that, but the event is still a couple of weeks away. So you never know what might happen between now and then. People I spoke with for my story were a little leery of that. It's almost 50 miles away from Chicago. And to be honest, you know, this thing's been going on for a few months now. And I think those questions about, you know, the Saudi funding of this have become a little less pointed over time. I mean, when it first started out, you know, all these golfers were really, you know, given the third degree by journalists. And it's my sense that that has diminished over time.
Yeah, slow boil. All right. So from a golfing standpoint, what is different about the LIV Tour as compared to the regular PGA Tour?
Well, there are a few notable differences. One is that this is going to be a 3-day, 54-hole tournament, as opposed to 4 days and 72 holes that PGA events normally run. It is going to be a shotgun start, meaning all the golfers will be on the course at the same time, just starting on different holes, which is not the way, you know, the Masters, the U.S. Open operates, but is the way that a lot of sort of, you know, local and amateur tournaments operate. So I think the thought is that people can relate to that and there'll be more action. You know, it's not like it is at the British Open where, you know, if you tee off first thing in the morning, you're in the clubhouse, you know, for a couple hours waiting to see how, you know, Tiger Woods or whoever does. So, the golfers are separated into teams, which have their own sort of uniforms and logos and nicknames. And the thought is that that people will find that an interesting twist to follow. So you're not just rooting for Phil Mickelson, you're rooting for, you know, Phil Mickelson and the rest of the Fireballs or whatever team he happens to end up on.
You know, it's interesting. I recently rewatched the movie Happy Gilmore. I don't know if you've ever seen that one, which just certainly had a different take on golf fandom in that. I kind of wonder if they're trying to jazz it up a little in this way. Is this influencing the PGA Tour? Have they responded? Are they doing anything differently in response to this? I mean, beyond, you know, the threat comment that we heard earlier.
Yeah, I think they have seen this as a wake-up call. I'm not aware of them doing anything, you know, sort of to match what the LIV Tour is doing. But I think this has surfaced a lot of unhappiness that that some golfers have had with the PGA and some fans, for that matter. You know, I spoke to a number of fans who told me that they found, you know, PGA events to be getting, you know, pretty stale. And they were interested in seeing this new format and interested in seeing a lot of these hotshot golfers who normally skip over Illinois because the events aren't scheduled here.
Well, and that's interesting. I did want to ask you about the fans. If you've, you know, are people excited? Are they going to be going out all the way to Sugar Grove? I guess, you know, if you're in that area, fine. But if you're coming out of the city, it's a bit of a drive. Is there excitement about this?
You know, that was, I would say overall, the golfers I spoke with were intrigued by it. Now, whether that's going to be enough to get them out there and, you know, paying their ticket fee to get in the door is another question. I don't think it sounds like attendance has been kind of spotty at previous events. This is not on TV, it's streaming on the internet, but as of now, there's no broadcast home for it. So if you don't go in person, you know, your option is going to be watching on the computer.
Yeah, if it's not on TV, it's not really happening, right? I guess with professional sports. All right, what is this? The last thing I want to ask you about is the future of golf in Illinois, right? What else is there? Could this bring, you know, more interest in having major tournaments here?
That's a really good question. I guess it all depends on what kind of turnout they have. You know, if they end up getting a lot of people out there and, you know, the tournament's really exciting and people, you know, remember it, or maybe there's a really good, you know, duel to the finish, and it's just something that gets people excited. That's probably good news for the LIV Tour, and potentially that's good news for other courses in the area, particularly around Chicago, which you know, feel like they're not getting their fair share of big time events.
All right, John Kyleman is a senior reporter at the Chicago Tribune who has been writing about the LIV Golf Tournament. John, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show to talk about this.
My pleasure.
Coming up after the break, college athletes have been able to profit off name, image, and likeness for a year now, but there are these marketplaces coming online. It's going to be a lot easier for them to do that. We're going to talk to somebody who works with one of these marketplaces, as well as an Illinois college soccer player, about what those opportunities look like. Before we take a break, I want to urge you to subscribe to our podcast. You can find a link to that at 21stshow.org, or you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. While you're there, do take time, please, to leave a review if you appreciate the show. Even if you think we have room for improvement, we want to hear from you. It does help other people discover the show. So please take the time, especially on the Apple Podcasts app. Go ahead, leave a rating and a review. We'd love to hear from you. More to come on the 21st Show after a short break. Stay with us.